being kind should be a simple task, shouldn't it? Well, in today's society, it seems to be that there is a loss of the art or the gift or the fruit of kindness. Pastor Tim challenges us today to be kind. Thank you for joining us.
To the Lord. Well, we are in the whole subject of Christian maturity. I hope and I pray that you're growing in the Lord. It's my purpose, the goal, as one of my goals as a pastor and as a preacher, is that you will continue to grow in the Lord. And I will say this again, if you think you can mature in the Lord by just coming on Sunday morning and not investing your time with the Lord throughout all the week, you will never be the Christian that God desires for us to be. If you rely on me to teach you all things of God, then you have to put your stock in something that will fail you. Trust me. But I do believe that we can come together as a body, and we can sing songs, and we can dedicate babies, and do all type of things. But I believe the preaching of God's word is still the truth today. Do you believe that? I believe that today, and I'm thankful that I can preach God's word. And so, I want to lead in this. We're going to talk about the fruit of the spirit and the works of the flesh again today. We're going through the series. But let me say this: in American media or in any civilized civilization, you will see a lot of commercials. Would you agree with that? Everywhere we go, we see a commercial for something. Everywhere we go, it is just a common thing in our lives. It's been here for many, many years, and they are geared to get our attention. They will do certain other things. They'll have a catchy tune, like "Where's the Beef?" Some of you know what that means. And you know, they should try to get us to look. They try to get us to see, and TV commercials and the billboards and all of these things. You know, there's even if you watch the news, whatever station you watch, there's words running across the bottom of the screen. You know, and research is saying that you don't have to read those words, that we're still getting bits and pieces of it. And so we are just inundated with so much stuff coming at us. And they really want us to do one thing: buy my product. Pretty much. That's what they want us to see. Buy my product. They make it look good. You know, I like info commercials. Some people hate info commercials. I kind of like them. My wife, Heidi thinks I'm kind of strange. But, you know, I like watching those commercials, and it's fun to watch them. Like, for instance, if they're selling a pan, a frying pan, they will show a bad frying pan with some woman that has no makeup on, and she's a razzle. I mean, she's just, you know, and it shows the stuff sticking in it, you know, and she's taking the pan and just throwing it down. Then they switch to their pan. It's a great pan. Stuff slides right off of it, and it's beautiful. It's in color. It's just great. You know, they have a way to show us something. They have a way to say, this is better for you. It is there to really... To really for you to buy into something. It's to gratify. They want to gratify you. You know, that impulse in the brain goes off saying, I've got to have that pan. You know, I've got to have it. It's just something that they've done such a good job, and I'm just enthralled in it. I'm watching everything that they're cooking in it, saying, I can cook that way if I buy that pan. And it just moves us to something that we really think we have to have. What was the saying? Set it and just forget it. You remember that one? That rotisserie thing? Yeah, that was me. I got one. I used it about two times. That was it, and I was done. Figured out that it didn't really do what I thought it might do. But it's there for us to gratify ourselves. We find in Galatians again. And I want us to read this about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. In verse number 16, it says, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want." He wants us to be free. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law." Meaning we don't have to live by the law anymore. We live by God's grace, the grace that Jesus has given us. It gives us a freedom to be pure, to be holy, and to really live a holy life. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. They should be obvious by now to every Christian person, even at the beginning of their Christian walk. They begin to learn these things. But if you've been a Christian very long, it should be, I know what the works of the flesh are. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. I can say it. Adultery and sorcery and enmities and strife and jealousy and anger and quarrels and dissensions and factions and envy and drunkenness and carousing and things like these. Listen to it. I am warning you as I warned you before. In other words, I say this every Sunday when we read the scripture. Paul said, I have warned you. And I'm having to say it over again. Meaning, in other words, you didn't get it the first time. I'm warning you, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, I like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Very good. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Remember, He's going to guide us through all this. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, and do not envy one another. Isn't that some good scripture again every week? This whole series that we've been talking about, today the works of the flesh that we want to talk about is you know, it's something that is rather defined to the flesh. It might be a word you say, well, I don't have any trouble with this. It's a sorcery. It's an interesting word. It's where we get our word pharmacy from. Very interesting word. It has something to do about giving the drugs or a poison. It's often connected to a witchcraft. At a first look, we might say to ourselves that we don't have any trouble with these type things. Well, I want to say in a context of this, but I really do believe it's leaning more towards not just about the drugs, about witchcraft. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on a witchcraft or anything like that, because I believe it's just a counterfeit on what God wants to do. It's just a counterfeit. And some people get caught up in these other type things. And so I just want us to, stretch a little bit of this. I'll try to stay in context as much as I, you know, as what God has called me to do. But here's something I believe that kind of falls in this, that we fall in a trap at times. Now, we have a way, and I'm going to get into a kindness in here in just a few minutes. We find in a rich crowd the use of music a lot in a rich crowd. We find it that there's a certain type of music that they like to use. Well, you know, I got to thinking about that. In worship services all over the world, there will be all types of music played all over the world. When we have visited China, it's interesting. Their music is not much different from what we have here. I know there was one service that they were singing Amazing Grace in Chinese. And our translator, Miss Jenny, says, they want you and Heidi to get up and sing Amazing Grace in English. I said, oh, Lord. And Heidi's not here to defend herself. You can ask my children how my wife sings. It's very interesting. And that's all I'll say. But it was amazing how music connected us. They were singing in Chinese. I was singing in English. I'm saying, yeah, I'm sure you were. And an amazing grace. Now, I've said this before. When I go to like Mexico or to China and stuff, my translator and I have to speak, and I stutter on a word, I always ask them, "Are you going to stutter with me?" It's always fun to watch. But I always like to watch the people. They always look at me and go, "What type of English is that?" They don't have a clue. But it's amazing how music connects us. And it's amazing also how it can divide us. How it can really divide us as people of God. You know, there was a time in my life, and I believe and I worship today. It was beautiful, and it was pure, and it was holy. And I believe that these musicians and these singers today, they came believing that they wanted to help us to come to a place that we could just open our hearts and just express to the Lord on how we feel today, on how we want to express ourselves to Him today through a song. But as something that can so much connect us, can also divide us as people of God. There was many years in my walk with the Lord that I believed that Southern gospel music was God's music. And some of you say, amen, it is. I believe it too. I love a hill called Mount Calvary at the beginning of the service. Wasn't that good? I love every moment of it. What did it do for me? You know, I looked at Heidi. And she said, we already headed to church today, you know, after that song. What did it do to us? It moved us to think and to say, I'm thankful for a hill called Mount Calvary. Why? Because He saved me. He set me free. And so it moved us. And there was a time in my life that I felt like that Southern gospel music was God's music and everything else was one of the very living, deepest part of hell. Really, that's what I thought. It was just a pit. There's no way that God could ever use this type of music. There's no way. And so I began to, we point at each other. And you might say, what's this got to do with a sorcery? It's a stretch. But I believe a sorcery is something that can come in our lives. It's almost like a witchcraft that divides us. That just divides us. And something that's supposed to be so pure and so holy and so wonderful to be used in our lives, how we allow stuff to come in. And I believe that the devil takes it and divides us within it all. I can go to the other extreme when I begin to come out of this and my understanding of really what makes music a Christian. That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Before we can say anything about any type of music or style of music, we have to ask ourselves, what makes music a Christian? Some will say the words make it Christian. Some will say, well, it's the beat that makes it a Christian. I would have to say today that I believe that it's the words that makes music a Christian. And when I began to listen to some other styles of music, I quickly found out that there's two styles that I do not like and I despise. And some of you are going to throw stones at me. Bluegrass and rap. You know, is that the two first extremes that you could ask? I just don't enjoy that. It does not move me into the kingdom. It does not move me into anything. But I began to find that there was people of God that was making some music, you know, that really spoke to my heart, that it would move me into the throne room. Something that I allowed to divide me from others and fuss, and we would argue down to the that my music was better than yours. Until one day at school, I met a guy that was a right with the Lord and was a Christian. And he was listening to something. I said, what is that? And I had watched his life and what a servant of the Lord he was. And I'm thinking, I said, how can you be a servant of the Lord and listen to that? I said, what kind of music is this? He said, well, I don't know what he said now. I said, I don't understand anything that he's saying. He said, well, I can't. Because I came out of a life that was full of just terrible devil music and awful stuff, and these Christian artists. He says, I really relate to that. Let me tell you what they're saying. You know what they were saying? that Jesus shed his blood for me has set me free. And it was beginning of me that something I allowed to divide me from so many. I begin to see and understand. You know, we often say, you know, that like a Christian, a rock and roll, it puts kids into a frenzy. You know, I just want to touch on this. I've been to concerts, and I used to say that a lot of times that concerts are Christian concerts. I believe that Christian concerts are for people to just go and just enjoy worship and just enjoy a time together. Whatever you enjoy or you like. But it's interesting is that when I was raised in Southern Gospel and go to Southern Gospel groups, you know, there was a little bit of kind of the same thing. I'm not saying that these music artists are trying to manipulate us somewhere in there. All I'm trying to say is that even with that, I watched where there might be a story said about their mama, praying for someone. And then a kind of sad song about somebody that's going to heaven. And then everybody's emotional, and then there's this fast song that takes us right back up. So see the point I'm making, the power of music? And so we come together and we try to divide ourselves by pointing fingers at one another and saying that mine's the best. No, mine's the best. Why can't we come to the place and say, I believe if the lyrics are of God with sound theology, that it's all of God's music. That doesn't divide us. It doesn't make us someone in a judgment, trying to say that this is right and this is wrong. When I sit down with my other brother that listens to something that I don't understand, I say, what are they saying? And he's telling me that these are things of God, and he's telling me what they're saying. I go, praise God. Praise God. Something that should bring us together often divides us. And I believe that's one of the greatest forms of sorcery in the church. Things that should bring us together, we often find things wrong with it that divides us. And it divides us in a way, and here's the thing, I love Southern Gospel music. I still do. Sometimes I'll find it, and I'll just start listening to it in my office. That's why we put I Believe in the Hill Called Mountain Calvary in the Easter play. I was listening to some Gaithers, and that song came on. At about the end of it, believe it or not, even me, I pushed my seat all the way back to the wall. You know? Like, wow! What I'm saying to us today is, don't fall for something. Get on our soapboxes so many times and stand firm that we're right and everyone else is wrong in these areas right here, when I do believe that I'm thankful that I can listen to some Hillsong and the next thing that comes on my playlist is Bill Gaither singing something. I worship here and I worship here. And then a bluegrass song comes on, I go, oh Lord help us. Let me get through it. Then a rap song comes on, I go, oh Lord, that cannot be of God at all. In other words, let's just get along. You know? You say, Tim, why are you saying that today? I don't know. I don't think that's a major issue here. As far as I know, I'm the last one to find out if it is. But my point is that we fall for so many things that divide us. And if I can say that, there's a word over in Philippians, I believe, it says, who has other bewitched you? I don't want to be bewitched. I want to be able to come alongside my brother and my sister. I don't want to be a divider. Which leads me into this. I could get into this whole sorcery about the drugs and all that stuff. Can I just say this to you? They'll lead you where you don't want to go. The young man that I visited in jail this week is there because of alcohol. And I'll just touch on this a little bit. And we as Christians, oftentimes we fuss and fight and holler that I can go and a social drink. It's like it's a big deal for whatever reason. and fuss and holler and scream and holler. I can soak and drink and it's not sin. Amen. Well, I had someone to tell me last night, go and sit at Celebrate Recovery one Tuesday night and tell me why you want to do it. Why you want to do it? As a follower of Christ, why do you want to even do it? And where it leads you. You ask Jonathan sitting here. You ask Jonathan for a while. Do you really want a social group? Jonathan would tell you no. You ought to hear his testimony. That leads me to the fruit of the Spirit. Nay, this is the works of the flesh. They gratify us. As we move into the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving through us and out of us. Fruit of the Spirit today we're talking about is a kindness. Kindness. My question for you today, are you full of kindness? Are you a kind person? Are you kind? As a fruit of the Spirit moving through us and outward, are you kind? Am I kind? Am I kind? It's just not, I'm merely just being a good as a quality, is rather it is something that moves us to be kind in action. To be kind in action. Are you doing kind things as a follower of Christ? Are you being kind? You know, it's not hard to be broken. It's not hard to be kind, is it? Don't take much effort to be kind. For some of us, it might take more effort than some others. But as the fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is moving within us, He calls us to be kind. Oftentimes, we're not kind because we feel a certain way. For as a Christian, we must be kind and strive for kindness, no matter how we feel. So that's a hard sentence to say, is it? Is to continue to be fine, no matter how we feel about situations in our lives. Because as a Christian, hopefully, we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? That we know who holds tomorrow. But Billy here is dealing with so many health issues. But I was visiting with him this week, and he was kind to me. Kind to me. It's often we are kind of like the world. We're only kind when we feel a certain way. But I believe if it's the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working through us, it might be difficult, it might be hard, it might be the last thing we want to do in a situation is to be kind. But we still do because God calls us. It's the fruit of the Spirit that rises up in us and moves out. It's difficult for us when someone is unkind to us to be kind back. Oftentimes we raise up and we bow up, you know. Like I told you before, when I bow up, all the children run. Scares. It's something within us. If the Lord is not moving within us, when somebody is unkind to us, we have this tendency to be unkind back, which goes against all of His Word. My question is, are we kind? Doesn't matter how we feel or what's going on in our lives, it's never okay to be unkind. Let me say that. It's never okay to be unkind. It's never okay to be unkind. You might have to get at times with folks really down serious with someone, but that's not being unkind. That's just being truthful. But it's never okay to be unkind as a follower of Jesus Christ, because unkindness can lead people astray and will never be a part ever of the body of Christ because somebody was unkind to them. I've had people throughout years of ministry say, I've had people just come to this church and say, I'm never coming back there because somebody wasn't kind to me. Now, that's an excuse. I understand that. And they'll have to deal with that one day. But the Lord is calling us to be just kind people. And you cannot be kind if you own every single soapbox that comes along that you think is worthy to be on the soapbox about. Being kind. Boy, this is heavy. I guess I'm one of the things that's heavy because it's difficult. It's very hard. It separates us. Jesus is our example. He was kind. In the most worst situations, He was kind. You ask any server that works at a restaurant, when's your worst day? I've asked server after server after server, when is your worst day at a restaurant? They go, without even blinking an eye, oh, Sunday right after church. I had one server said, those are the most unkind people I've ever met in my life. Their chicken don't come out right. Oh, Lord, here we go. You know? And then when they leave, there's only about 2% tip on the table. How unkind can we be? But we also can be kind. I've heard story after story of kindness in my life as a minister. That somebody was kind to me. And the only reason that I'm a Christian because they took out the time to be kind to me. James St. John tells us a story when he was an RA at Under Trevecca. And there was a freshman that came in. He was homesick and all this. And James went and got him two Mountain Dews. They sat down together and gave him Mountain Dew. Just being kind. I believe the story right, that boy graduated and he looked you up, right, James? And you know what he said to James? Thank you for the Mountain Dew. It changed my life. Just being kind. Just act of kindness. Just act of kindness. The story of the good Samaritan. What a kind act. I recently just discovered, I used to preach this, that the priest and the Levite, they walked around the Samaritan and went way over here and walked around to stay away from him because he was so, I cannot be with a Samaritan. Walked way around. I've just recently discovered they couldn't have him because the road was so narrow. They literally had almost had to step over to get away from him. Don't that bring new meaning to that story? They actually just, a Levite and a priest just stepped over. How unkind that someone came along and was kind. My question today is to us, are we kind in how we speak? If you disagree with someone, just be kind. In this charged, a political nation, which finds itself in the church, which I cannot stand, not necessarily this church, but in the church in general, Big C, just be kind. Just be kind. If you're talked about at work, guess what? Be kind. Someone cuts you off in traffic? It's me. Not saying I'm cutting somebody off, so it's why it cuts me off. Tim, just be kind. A spouse is doing whatever. Just be kind. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of us because the Holy Spirit's living within us. The works of the flesh is something that we do. The fruit of the Spirit is something God does through us. And when we find ourselves not being kind, then we have to ask our question, what's the Holy Spirit in all this? If we want to move on to Christian maturity. As James preached last week, we cannot go back to slavery. He's made us free. He has set us free. And you have and I have a responsibility to be kind. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when the circumstances cause me not to. It makes me want to be kind when someone says, well, my music's the best. Just going to be kind and smile. It's not worth the argument. It's not worth it. It just divides us. There's some areas that just divide us when it should not be dividing us. You know the reason we sing what we sing? Because I know somebody who loves Southern gospel music. I really don't like the other type of music. But I know some of you really don't like Southern gospel music, but you like the other stuff. It's called unblended worship. And it's done on purpose. Why? Because I want you to be able to stand and be able to sing and walk into the glory of the Lord and just enjoy worship together. my challenge to myself and to us this week, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what situation you find yourself in, you ready? Two words. Be kind. And it just might point someone to Jesus. But I will guarantee you this. If you're not kind, it will never point them to Jesus. Ever. So that's our challenge today. I want you to stand. You might be here today and say, Tim, I've fussed and hollered and screamed and done all type of stuff because of I want my certain way. I want this is the way it's supposed to be. And I have not been kind through it all. Maybe you just need a time for the Lord to come and bow down before Him. I want you to come. And then as they sing together.
As we face the day-to-day challenge of putting ourselves aside and giving others preference, the act, the fruit of kindness, alive and well in the spirit of life within the believer, is a grand indicator of maturity. In our growth and maturity, it's our hope and our prayer that kindness would abound. We thank you for joining us today. This is Pastor James St. John on behalf of Pastor Tim Thomas and the Freedom Church family. Have a great week.